we have a big celebration going on today on Wake Up With Hope.
Yes, we do, and we have a blessings-packed program to help us celebrate.
We have music by the Collingsworth family, a brand new Reflections of Hope episode, and an inspiring devotional from Pastor Mark Finley.
Come along with us and join in as we celebrate what God has done. Here this morning. Wait, I'm here by myself. Where's Christian?
Hey, I'm right here.
Hey.
And welcome, friends, to the 500th episode of Wake Up With Hope. That's right. We're celebrating 500 mornings of waking up with you and share the love of Jesus.
500 episodes. I cannot believe it. Friends, thank you so much for being part of the Wake Up With Hope family. You keep us motivated, encouraged, and inspired to continue every single morning.
Yes. Woohoo. You know, we'd love to know how the past 500 mornings waking up with hope have impacted your life. Send us a message on our Facebook page and let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, we are here celebrating big with a show that is full of blessings designed to draw you closer and even closer to Jesus.
Pastor Mark Finley is back with another inspiring devotional, and Todd joins us with another Reflections of Hope episode. We have music from the Collingsworth family and more. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge signed into law the Immigration Act of 1924, the most stringent U.S. immigration policy up to that time in the nation's history. The new law reflected the desire of Americans to isolate themselves from the world after fighting World War I in Europe, which exacerbated growing fears of the spread of communist ideas. It also reflected the pervasiveness of racial discrimination in American society at the time. Many Americans saw the enormous influx of largely unskilled, uneducated immigrants during the early 1900s as causing unfair competition for jobs and land. With the new law, entry was denied to certain ethnicities while allowing for others, and a limit was also set on how many people from each country could be allowed in. Today, immigration continues to be a hotly debated topic, but aren't you glad we won't have to deal with any of these issues in heaven? God doesn't have a limit on how many people can enter His kingdom, nor does He discriminate based on skills, attitude, race, or ethnicity.
Instead, all are welcome. We can all enter the pearly gates, friends. All we have to do is surrender our lives to Him and follow Him no matter the cost.
Amen. It's now time for music by the Collingsworth family. They're going to sing the classic, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
When we return, we'll have an encouraging Reflections of Hope episode on the glory of glaciers.
In the meantime, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to take a look back at any of the 500 episodes and see what else we have going on at Hope Channel.
And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us. We'll be right back. In the polar places of our planet, there is a natural wonder that contains massive potential. Glacial ice is the largest reservoir of fresh water on Earth. You know, scientists say that if all the glaciers melt, the ocean level would rise over 200 feet, thus flooding all the coastal cities of the world. In the cold, hard, fractured ice, there's potent and profound world-changing potential. The same is true for all of us.
Had a fascination with snow. Growing up on a tropical island, snow isn't something we ever had to deal with. So when I saw it for the first time when I was a kid, I was so excited, to say the least. I think that every islander can relate with that. But being able to see glaciers here in Iceland is a whole different level. Only in the polar places of our planet can you see these massive bodies of ice carving through mountain canyons. It is a spectacular sight to behold. And the creation of these blue beauties is just as amazing. Glaciers are formed on high land elevations. As snow falls, it either melts or evaporates. But when snow falls at a rate that exceeds its melting point, it turns into compacted ice. As more and more snow continues to fall, it crushes and compresses individual snowflakes, squeezing the air from the snow, thus creating glacial ice. When this process happens over years and even centuries, glaciers are formed. Glaciers appear blue for the same reason that the ocean appears blue. Water molecules absorb other colors more efficiently than blue. The blueness of the glaciers is also due to a lack of air bubbles in the ice. Air bubbles, which give a white color to the ice, are squeezed out by pressure, thus increasing the density of the ice and the bluish tone. And when the mass of snow and ice is sufficiently thick, gravity and pressure causes the ice mass to slide down the slippery slope. As it consistently moves under its own weight, it scrapes the terrain it rests upon, carving out even bigger canyons. The top 160 feet of the glacier is called the fracture zone. As the glacier moves over irregular terrain, cracks called crevasses develop in the fracture zone. Crevasses form when two rigid sections of a glacier move at different speeds and directions. When this happens, sheer force causes them to break apart, opening a crevasse, some of which can be up to 1,000 feet or even deeper. These crevasses make hiking on glaciers exceedingly dangerous. Beautiful, but dangerous. When the glacier meets the sea level, it cracks and falls, creating massive and majestic icebergs which cover the polar oceans. Glacial ice is the largest reservoir of fresh water on Earth. Scientists say that if all the glaciers melt, the ocean would rise over 200 feet. That means that all the coastal cities would be flooded. Now, it's amazing to think that these massive blocks of ice located here in the polar regions have enough water to affect the whole world. And as I thought about that, it reminded me of many of the churches of the world today. You see, many churches are kind of like these glaciers. Hard, cold, fractured, breaking apart, and even dangerous. Beautiful on the outside, but dangerous on the inside. Like the glaciers, not everything that looks beautiful is safe. Not everything that's called Christian is Christ-like, and not everything that comes from a pulpit is true. And yet many of these same churches have the God-given potential to flood the whole world with the water of life and a message of hope. And only as we allow the Lord to melt our cold, hardened hearts with the Sun of Righteousness and the light of truth, will we then be able to make a worldwide impact with a flood of living water. Jesus said, He that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so today, I encourage you to recognize the God-given potential that lies within you. To realize that just like the glory of these glaciers, you have the power to make a difference that will change the world forever. That through your life, God wants to send a flood of hope in a world that's dying in spiritual drought.
Coming up after the break, we'll have today's devotional thought by Pastor Mark Finley.
And don't forget to visit us at hope.study to claim your free Bible study guides and experience the life-changing power of the Word of God. Wake up with hope. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for staying with us as we celebrate our 500th episode.
Pastor Mark Finley joins us now to share today's devotional thought.
Wine, alcohol, is not very popular in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Intoxicating drink arouses brawling. What's a mocker mean? It means it deceives you. You drink a little wine, affects the forebrain where conscience, reason, and judgment are located, and you're deceived. Wine is not very popular in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, raises some questions. Who has woe? Do you want that? Who has sorrow? How many want sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine, do not look upon the wine when it's red. That's when the juice is fermented. When it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Wine is not very popular at all in the book of Proverbs. You know, I've read one statistic that was really interesting. 2 out of every 5 people that begin drinking alcohol become problem drinkers. In other words, they either lose work because of their drinking, they either become so inebriated that it leads them to premature disease and ultimately death, or they have problems in their marriages. 2 out of every 5 people that start drinking experience that. What if you had a German Shepherd dog that only bit 2 out of every 5 of your guests? Would you have too many friends that wanted to visit your home? Obviously not. There's a dangerous and shocking claim of the World Health Organization, it's called WHO, W-H-O, regarding cancer and alcohol that has recently come to the forefront. The World Health Organization says that the risk of cancer starts, now get this, with the first drop of alcohol. Now, I'm not saying that as a preacher. This is World Health Organization. Then they go on to conclude, and this was reported in Lancet, which is the journal of the British Medical Association. Therefore, no amount of alcohol can be called safe for human health. According to this WHO statement published in Lancet Public Health, I'm quoting, when it comes to drinking alcohol, there is no safe amount that does not affect health, according to Dr. Karina Faria Borges, acting unit head of the non-communicable disease management and regional advice. She said, we can't talk about so-called safe levels of alcohol use. It doesn't matter how much you drink. Drinkers run the health risk with the first drop of any alcohol they drink. Again, she is affirming this report out of Lancet, affirming what the World Health Organization says. We cannot say that moderate drinking is safe for health. That's been said for decades. We continue. She says, more boys with cancer are being diagnosed than girls in India. And Lancet says there's a direct link between alcohol and this cancer. According to the report of Healthline, a recent study has revealed that there's a direct link, amazingly so, between carcinogens and the development of a variety of kinds of cancers and alcoholic beverages. Drinking alcoholic beverages such as wine and beer increases the risk of, can you believe this, 7 different types of cancer. increases the risk of mouth cancer, throat cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, liver cancer, cancer of the esophagus. The research has also found that most people in America are suffering from the disease, but they don't even know it. They don't even know about the danger of alcohol. The study that I'm quoting was done under the direction of William Klein, who was the associate director of the National Cancer Institute of America. And he says that some people think that drinking wine is beneficial for health, but it is not so. See, some of those early studies you may have been familiar with said that drinking alcohol in moderate amounts is beneficial for your health, and it's beneficial for your heart. That is simply not true. Now, it is true that there is something called reversisol in grapes, and that reversisol can be helpful to the heart. And so that's why earlier studies that said moderate drinking might help the heart were largely based on this idea of the reversisol, the product in the grapes. The earlier studies, incidentally, were flawed because they were done on animals, and particularly on rats and mice. And rats and mice consume and digest and assimilate alcohol differently than human beings do. So those studies largely now have been put aside, the earlier studies that talked about the benefit of a little alcohol for the heart, because of the higher risk of these seven types of cancer from alcohol. And citing WHO's National Agency on Cancer, they said, "It is a mental dependence that rationalizes people to take more or fewer poisons like alcohol, while alcohol puts them at a higher, the highest risk of cancer." This new study also revealed that consuming alcohol increases not only the risk of cancer, but it increases multiple other diseases, and that people are not aware of it. Heavy drinkers, of course, we've known for years, have had higher risk of cirrhosis of the liver. And in 3 John chapter 2, our Lord puts it this way in 3 John 2. He says, "Beloved, above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in health." God longs for you to be in health. And he knows that alcohol affects the forebrain. And as it affects the forebrain, you become less capable of making wise, healthful decisions. And as you become less capable of making wise, healthful decisions, you continue to drink more and more and more, which predisposes you to these different types of cancer and varying other diseases. This is why Paul in Romans chapter 12 says, "I beseech you, therefore." In other words, I beseech you, I urge you that you present your bodies. The word for bodies there is sumata in the Greek language. It means the total sum of everything you are. Your mind, your body, your spirit, as a living sacrifice unto God. Paul says, "I beseech you, I urge you to come. Present your body." Can I honestly present my body as a living sacrifice to God when I am hypnotizing, anesthetizing my brain through alcohol so it cannot receive the impressions of the Holy Spirit? Why is it that people who drink, why is it that they feel that there's no health consequences to drinking and it's just something that's kind of like a sedative that calms them down? It's because the alcohol is affecting their forebrain. The more you drink, the less capable you are of analyzing the scientific information that points out the harmful effects of drinking. The more you drink, the less capable you are of hearing the voice of God to your heart. The more you drink, the less capable you are of the moving of the Spirit on the brain. The only safe way is God's way. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mark, for those inspiring words.
And friends, thank you for joining us on the 500th episode of Wake Up With Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, maybe rewatch one of the 500th episodes that we've been filming up until now during the weekend, or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the new week together, so don't forget to join us on Monday at 7 a.m. We'll be making vegan bliss balls with Gia and her clan. The Health Connection and the Collingsworth family will be back. Plus, our friends from Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional thought. You don't want to miss any of it. And don't forget, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
And of course, we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise. And today's promise says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." That's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16.
Amen. May the Lord be with you all today and give you his promised peace.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, it is amazing to realize that this is our 500th episode. Wow, Lord, 500 times you have given hope. 500 times we have claimed promises. 500 times we have praised your holy name. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to fill our lives with hope for the next 500 episodes, every day until we get to see your face and be caught up to meet you in the air, to be forever with you for eternity. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.